Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long, where your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because, you know, we're doing it live. All right, as always, Mac here in the power chair. On the line, we have Disciple, who became famous this weekend. We'll come back to that. And Rahway Tommy. On today's episode, we take a look at the Giants' Week 10 debacle against the Detroit Lions and put Daniel Jones on trial. Gentlemen, maybe the only positive from this weekend is that the Disciple, if you were in MetLife Stadium this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, you got introduced to the Disciple himself on the Jumbotron. That might be my only positive takeaway. I don't know what else to give you.
The only other possible takeaway I could possibly think of is that Daniel Jones threw over 300 yards.
Two picks.
Exactly. It's like, would you rather, you know, it was turnovers. They just played like a sloppy game. It feels like such a step back when you beat, you know, better teams like the Ravens and the Packers, and you come out and you lay an egg. And on a short week, a lot of injuries. I couldn't think of a worse possible outcome unless they lost like 50 to nothing.
Almost like the Vikings?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. It's just...
Yahweh, you got any optimism here? Because I'm ready to go full fire over here. Like, this is...
Yeah, it was definitely a bring you back to Earth Day. You start to think, is this the team that everyone thought they were going to watch going into the season, and we were in a rebuild, you know, optimistic with, you know, Daniel Jones going over 300 yards, you know, rushing for 50. I mean, he almost 400 total yards and two touchdowns, one in the air, one on the ground. As much as the short week is a bad thing, I think it might be a silver lining that you got to put this one behind you. You know, do whatever it is coaches do, bury the football a la Rex Ryan and move on to Dallas and get ready for the Thursday game that is very important now because, you know, with injuries and how our future opponents have kind of flipped the script themselves, those games you were looking at and going, that's a possible win there, that's a win here, we're at home. You know, at least we beat the worst team in football last week, didn't look good. And, you know, came out and laid an egg this week, but we need to turn it around. And it's a big game in Dallas on Thursday.
Boys, we're fucked. Let's not stop skirting around it. So, Tommy, you said, there's some positives here. We got to put it behind us. I agree with you. I understand. As a non-emotional fan, I agree, right? You know, this is what has to happen to move forward. The Giants are still 7-3, and in the context of this season, that's amazing. But – Disciple, you mentioned formula. The Giants don't beat themselves. Yesterday, 3 turnovers, 8 penalties, I believe 7 in the first half. The Giants run the ball, could not do that. Saquon Barkley, 15 rushes for 22 yards. And what's worst is that per Next Gen Stats, the Lions only used an 8-plus man box against Barkley on one of his 15 carries. So you can't even say they sold out to beat Saquon Barkley. That's lazy analysis. That's not even true. The Giants just got beat. And then the bend don't break. We literally talked about it last week, and this is one of the few. I feel like Jeff Goldblum, like, God, I hate being right all the time. The Giants' bend don't break is not part of their identity. Yesterday we saw that it was luck for a lot of this season. They went 4-for-5 in the red zone, 6-for-13 on third downs against us. Everything came crashing down against the lowly Lions, mind you.
I mean, it's freaking Adoree Jackson on a punt return. I mean, is there nobody else we could have gotten to return punts here? I mean, your cornerback one, the guy who now we're without him for 4 to 6 weeks. You got to go up against CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Terry McLaurin twice. A.J. Brown twice as well. Like, this is not great, man.
Fabian Moreau might be hurt as well.
And he was really playing out of his mind too, man.
We're already out, Aaron Robinson. So that's 1, 2, and 3 of our top corners going
plus our best safety.
And I'm going to, you know, age myself a little bit. you know, if you guys remember, let's put Jason Sehorn back to return kicks. This is what happens. You know, you put a guy back there. You know, this makes me long for the times of Tom Coughlin where it was, hey, fair catch and get the offense on the field. Because you didn't have a guy that could catch the ball. You know, thank you, Dave Gettleman, last week for Leonard Williams. And, you know, now screw you for this roster so bad that Shane and Dayball inherited. You don't have guys that could catch the ball and hold on to it. So you have to have these guys that are playing all the time. Look what Kansas City's doing. Pacheco, not returning kicks anymore. You can't have these guys back there and rely on them later in the game because now that's the big one for me. Adoree, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, he's gone. Wandale Robinson's terrible. I mean, that happens, and I'm just going, this wide receiver room is just cursed. I said, you know, with the World Cup coming on, we need Ted Lasso to come out and do a seance and get rid of the bad juju in that room. This poor kid had the best game ever, and now, you know, we're short again. We didn't have receivers to begin with. Now it's, you know, the Darius Slayton show, and that's about it.
Of course he gets right up to 100 yards, and then boom.
He looks so electric.
Dude, he was a magnet for the ball, man. That's...
So three quick hitters. Well, we're gonna finish on the Adoree Jackson thing. Look, I love Dave's. Who am I to question Dayball's? But look, that is one decision that I don't want to hear any of this bullshit about. You know, it's football, could happen on any play. Any justification the talking heads have for this, it's bullshit. The opportunity cost is too high. The Giants are not making game changing plays on special teams. Adoree Jackson had the potential to do that on defense. Throw somebody else out there. It's inexcusable. I'm sorry.
I 100% agree. And obviously, you know, Dave's is a big reason why we're 7-3 right now. But that's just a really, really, really hard pill to swallow.
And I had my first, not moment of doubt, but my first time that I'm really questioning Dable and Kafka with the offense. The touchdown, Daniel Jones design run, like a power sweep with the quarterback. You had some other runs that looked like they were designed or DJ decided on his own to keep it and take it. You're picking up yards. He still ended up with 50 yards. But when you see Saquon's being contained, whether it's 8 in the box or 6 or 7, why not push the envelope a little bit? I'm not saying run him at the level of Lamar or Josh Allen, but we need to pick up some yardage and keep their offense off the field. Why the change? You know, why not keep up with those plays that we're obviously working.
And am I crazy, but on a lot of those RPOs where he didn't keep it, he gave it to Barkley, that end was not following Daniel Jones. Like, there was wide open space had he kept it. So I don't know if that's a Daniel Jones decision or that's made pre-decision there, but I agree completely with you, Tommy. And I'll do you one more as far as questioning Dave's and Kafka. What in God's green earth did they see from Shane Lemieux during practice to justify him being inserted into the lineup? Well, just for anybody who is counting, the last time we saw him play meaningful snaps, he was the worst rated pass protecting guard in the NFL his rookie year. Sure, you want to say the eye test, he improved some of the run game, sure, whatever. PFF is not the be-all end-all, whatever. What does he do since then? Has a massive knee injury, patellar tendon, a career-ending injury for other positions, comes back, gets hurt again, and the one day after he's activated from the IR, we throw him in the starting lineup. What the fuck are we looking at on the field that could possibly justify that?
Yeah, it had to be a Zulu there, man.
Feliciano got banged up too.
Yeah, if that means Nick Gates gets on the field more, I mean, Feliciano's not part of this future, and he's mediocre on his best day. Shane Lemieux, just to finish that, because I'm so upset about it. Again, PFF, not a be-all, end-all. Zero. Rated zero in pass protection.
0.0.
Awful. And talk about the offensive line. Actually, it's sort of a positive. Tyree Phillips, who, mind you, is the backup to our hopefully a future stud, Evan Neal, he left the game, I think, on the right after that DJ touchdown. Pert, less than a year off an ACL, is now starting for the New York Football Giants and is going to be taking on Micah Parsons next week. You know, just throw that little stat in there.
Jesus.
And Isaiah Hodgins, man, you talk about, Tommy, like, this team is snake bin. They do one thing positive, right? We got Wandale Robinson looking fantastic. Tears his ACL. Isaiah Hodgins looking like a capable receiver, or at least someone who belongs on an NFL field, picks up 20 yards on a 3rd and 15, fumbles the ball. The Giants were only down 12, and they were moving. That was the game, essentially, for me.
I agree, but it just never felt like that close. I felt like I just expected the Lions to score a touchdown, and I was like, I'm not even sure what the Giants are going to do. Graham Gano's hurt. He missed the extra point. A kick got blocked. It was just a sloppy game at all facets, man. Like,
all right, so make the case before we move on. Because there's one – based on what you just said, Disciple, there's one reality that you might be able to convince me of here. Sunday just wasn't the Giants' day. Like you said, Tommy, right? Is the ghosts need to be the exercise from MetLife Stadium on Sunday. And just everything that could go wrong went wrong, and these things happen. And there's no way that's all going to happen again. All right, great. Giants can be competitive. Or the other side, which is what I think, frankly –
7-10.
This reveals who the Giants have always been. The luck has just been on the other side. It's regressing to the mean. And 7-10 is equally as likely as any other result. Make the case, and we'll get the hell out of here.
It's – yeah, I hate to be all doom and gloom, but, man, this feels like – I mean, are we really going to beat the Commanders even once? Are we going to be able to beat the Colts, the Vikings at home? I mean, the Vikings in Minneapolis? Like, you look at the schedule, and it's like, are we going to find ourselves another win with all these injuries, with all, like, everything going on? You got a short week in Thanksgiving going to Dallas. I just don't feel good about this, man. I really don't. I hate to be that pessimistic guy, but it's like, there's a certain area where they just collapse and just don't even win again.
It's obviously, it's not a victory Monday. The Blue Giants polo stayed home today. I'm not ready to completely jump off the bandwagon. It'll be on tomorrow. I do see them picking up at least two more wins with the rest of the season. Is it this week? I think that's a lot to ask going into Dallas on Turkey Day.
But it sounds like, Tommy, at least you have some optimism. And you know why I'm such a stupid buffoon of a fan is that I am so out right now, but by the time you were finished talking, I'm already convincing myself, well, you know, two games against the Commanders, you know, maybe we get it.
I'm but keeping the faith.
None of this matters if we don't talk about the man at the center of it all, who had a very interesting game. So that does it for our Lions wrap-up. Let's move on to our weekly segment, the Daniel Jones Court. Daniel Jones' entire season is an audition to be the long-term answer. Jones is now 7-3. However, to a new contract to sign, the jury is still out.
I mean, yeah, he threw for 300 yards, but like, I would much prefer that this guy threw for 200 yards and three touchdowns and maybe a pick or a fumble. Like, I'll take that if you throw three touchdowns, but he's never had – I don't think he's had a three-touchdown game this year.
Disciples looking at my show notes because I have my notes that I wrote to myself here. 200 total. Yards and two touchdowns and we win is better than, you know, the 341 and 50 on the ground with that pick and we lose. He did outside, obviously, it's, you know, it doesn't sound good when you say it out, you know, outside of the two picks, he still looked good. He was doing things the rest of the day. You did see what life is like without a running game and Saquon for him. Can he be successful without that? You know, for the year, right? We're talking about him for the year. Right now, he's at 65%. He's at 1937 for passing yards, 437 rushing yards. So he's almost at 2,000 yards passing. 13 total touchdowns, four of them are on the ground. And he went from 2 to 4 interceptions this week after not throwing a pick for several weeks. I'm still leaning towards, you know, we can work things out where I know this is the Daniel Jones court, but we could figure Saquon out and we can keep, you know, Daniel Jones here and let them continue to work together.
So therein lies the conundrum, gentlemen. You both just articulated exactly what I've been arguing over the last few months when it comes to moving the goalpost about Daniel Jones. So we're going to get back to more specifically about the Lions game, and we need to talk about those turnovers. But what I just heard from you, now, gentlemen, please tell me if I misheard you, that after a game in which Daniel Jones has two total touchdowns and threw for nearly 350 yards, as you said, Tommy, nearly 400 all-purpose yards, that you would have rather him had closer to 200 yards and a couple touchdowns and take the win.
With no turnovers. Yes.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So essentially what he has been doing every single game this year as the Giants go to 7-2. And yet every time that is used as an argument to be pro Daniel Jones, there is someone out there that says, you know, well, you know, but you know, it's a, I tell you want to see more. Like, you know, you would love to see those big stats too. So like, this is the issue. He goes ahead and puts up some big stats. Yes, you can't ignore the turnovers, but a lot of people have more turnovers than him this year. Two TDs, two turnovers, 350 yards. They lose. And now we're crying for the days of the last couple of weeks where he puts up mediocre stats in the box score. Stats have little to do with the quarterback. Game script is why we saw this yesterday. I'm just, I don't even know what I'm saying, gentlemen. It's just this is the argument every time Daniel Jones comes up. We say we want one thing. We see it. Then we say we want the other thing.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure if I'm ready to commit to him right now after this week. I mean, it just wasn't great. I mean, I don't know. Daniel Jones right now stopping you from drafting another quarterback or trading for one or signing one? They got a lot of cap space. You never know what might happen. I just don't know if he warrants not to be upgraded. That's all I'm saying. Is he efficient at times? Yes, yes. But, I mean, yesterday was just a horrendous game all around.
You know, I think your only problem is the only way I'm upgrading is if Lamar Jackson's going to walk in the building. At this point, with 7 wins and maybe another 1 or 2, you're out of the range of probably being able to draft with your first-round draft pick one of these big-name QBs that's coming out. Are they a solution? Are they an upgrade? Do we start all over again? And do you give up all the draft capital to go out and spend the money that you're going to need to spend? I mean, the draft capital that you're going to have to spend to bring somebody in here that's a first-round quarterback? Or do you blow a ton of that cap space by signing somebody because something happened? Bottom line, it's going to cost too much draft capital to bring in a quarterback through the draft. The only way I'm replacing Daniel Jones is if it's Lamar Jackson.
So I don't know where you land on this, gentlemen, but the turnovers, I think it was a better Aiden Hutchinson play than it was a Daniel Jones F up. I mean, he got, but it was a great play by Hutchinson. And then fourth down, it is what it is. The reality is, though, Jones' play Sunday allowed the haters to come out in force. They've been simmering under the surface, waiting for an opportunity. This kid has – the Giants need to be able to win fast or lose fast. Either, as Disciple might say, give me some panty dropper games or go full Kenny Golladay and just turn into a shell of a player that we need to move on from. It needs to be decisive one way or another. So with that in mind, gentlemen, put those general manager hats on. Season were to end today. You're Joe Shane, Tommy up. What's the deal? What are you doing with Daniel Jones?
I'm signing him. I'm keeping him here. Want to start right at about 3 years, 28 to 30 mil per season, and see if that gets it done. And, you know, maybe there's some negotiation in there, but got to keep him under that franchise QB number. It can't go too high, but we got to work something out and keep him. Sign him.
Disciple?
Honestly, I'm trending towards I'm letting him walk. Let me be decisive here.
Wow, that's...
I was looking on Twitter and it's like, well, there's 10 teams that might want Daniel Jones if we don't, if the Giants don't sign him. But my philosophy is, shouldn't we be looking for a quarterback that 32 teams want to freaking, you know, replace theirs with? Let's be honest, like, it just wasn't, I don't know, it's just not like, I can't put my finger on it, man, but I just can't trust him, man. I cannot trust him. I need better quarterback play. I need better offense. This team hasn't put up 30 points in 1,000-plus days. At what point do you say enough is enough and you're ready to start over with a better supporting cast? It just might make sense, more sense. I don't care if we have to give up draft capital for this year or next year. If Shane and Dable love a guy, I'm all in on drafting him and getting those pains out of the way next year with a better supporting cast and hopefully more receivers. I don't know. I hate to be that guy. I really do. I'd like him. He handles himself well, but I just don't think the play thus far in his career and this year should warrant a non-upgrade in the offseason. That's it.
I want to applaud Disciple for starting this segment off saying, I'm going to be decisive, and yet ending it with, I don't know. That said, it's a tag. It's an easy tag. He's shown enough to play in subpar situations. We need to see more before long-term investment. It's a tag. And with that, the court is adjourned. So let's end tonight with the fact that the NFL just simply is not aware that the Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York.
Football.
Giants.
For Disciple and Tommy, I'm Mac. We're big blue all goddamn day. Good night.